Good morning, Newport. We are here again. We're going to talk about true greatness. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. We just had a great time with the elders in prayer. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity. Lord, speak to our hearts. Reveal to us what you want us to see. And encourage us, Lord, as we need encouragement. To delight to do your will, for your law is in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The parable of the unmerciful servant, beginning at verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Once again, the title of the message, True Greatness. We've read the word of the Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God. Let's review a little bit of what we discussed last Sunday. 18 verses 15 through 20 deals with the recovering sinful member. Chapter 18 verses 21 through 22, we see Peter ask about forgiveness. And here in this parable, verses 23 through 35, we see the parable of the unforgiving servant, how this servant was missing the mark. Last week, we talked about how there are good citizens of heaven, good examples of good stewardship in Matthew 18, 15 through 22. We talked about an attentiveness. We talked about the binding and loosing, binding God's law and love in all things. And see, we talked about being childlike. A, attentiveness. B, binding and loosing God's love and law. C, a childlike spirit. Childlike, going after the lost sheep. Childlike, practicing reconciliation as ambassadors of God's kingdom. And here, in this portion of the text, 23 through 35, we see an example of poor citizens of heaven. We see this wicked servant as arrogant, as brash, and callous. Here in the text, we actually see this guy choking the life out of someone else. We see this citizen of heaven, this servant of the master, really losing his identity. Our heavenly citizenship on earth with one another should reflect a Trinitarian theology, a Trinitarian sensibility. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all equal in essence, but they're different in roles. We should love and treat one another with dignity and respect. And we must hold each other accountable towards forgiveness for this idea that true greatness in the kingdom of heaven, as citizens of God's kingdom, we press ourselves into forgiveness, reconciliation, and accountability. We see this through the entire text. N.T. Wright, theologian, in a text he's published entitled Broken Signposts, he speaks about the broken signposts of justice. And he talks about how justice is a universal longing. Here in the passage of Matthew 18, we see justice coming to light. You wanna be great in God's kingdom? True greatness, justice must take place. Justice must give rise. Micah 6:8, O mortal, you have shown us what is good, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Right here, as we look at N.T. Wright, this is what he says about justice. He said, justice is a universal longing. We all know that things are out of kilter in the world. He says, in my country, in your country, in my neighborhood, in yours, and in my family, and perhaps in yours. Then he challenges the reader, quote, if you were given a blank sheet of paper and asked to write down the names of people who had done something wrong to us, most of us wouldn't have much difficulty filling the page. If we were honest, we might also be able to compile a list of people to whom we had done something wrong. And most of those wrongs go unaddressed, like untreated wounds. They fester. This is how wars start. Long-term grievances. Something not put to right. Here in this passage, in Matthew 18, we see in this parable, we see Jesus saying, we need to be about putting things right. Forgiving one another. Our debts. As the Holy Father has forgiven us. Brian Laritz, in his text, Saving the Saved, he talks about this future hope. We need future hope, saints. We are ambassadors of a future hope. Brian Laritz, he talks about how history has teased out what we have done. Quote, history has shown a correlation between what we think about the future and the choices we make in the present. The 20th century has been called by many historians the bloodiest century in history. From the gas chambers of Auschwitz to the killing fields of Cambodia, man's capacity to do mass harm or damage to his fellow neighbor defies imagination. Many of the leaders of these killing regimes did not hold to a future hope, end quote. Here in Matthew 18, we see this wicked servant. He was focusing on the present. For some reason, he could not embrace a future hope. He thought about his debt, and his debt being connected to what other people owe him? Oh, this is fascinating. Who owes you something? Who is indebted to you? Who's brought harm to you? Have you noticed if you've actually brought harm to someone else? The 20th century, the bloodiest in the history of our humanity when it comes to mass destruction and killing. When we look at our churches, what are we doing? Who are we hurting? Who's hurt us? Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This can be painful. How do we deal with it? You've heard the saying, hurt people actually hurt people. Is there anything that's deeply pressed into us that God is peeling back the layer on that onion and asking us, where is your hurt? How have you been hurt? Have you forgiven? Stephen, have you forgiven others that have hurt you? Friends, there may be some African-American communities that are hurt. Maybe there are. I'm going to speak for myself. I don't want to get to heaven and see the Lord face to face. And God says, Stephen, you were waiting for reconciliation. You were waiting for reparations. Did you forgive your sister or your brother? Now, if God asked me that question, it's not because God doesn't know. God already knows. God wants to reveal the answer to me in a way, because maybe I haven't really had an attentiveness. Maybe I really didn't have a childlike spirit. Maybe I was pretty arrogant. Maybe I was brash. Maybe I was calloused. When I hold on to unforgiveness, it's almost like I'm drinking poison. It's almost like I'm being imprisoned. Do you notice the passage here? When the wicked servant was choking and demanding something out of this other servant, then there was a community of other servants. They looked and said, whoa, wait a minute, this isn't right. And they went back to the master and called it out. That community had courage to call out an injustice. Church, we must take courage and call out injustice. Take courage as a child entering the playground for the first time, looking at the opportunities to be in the midst of the field, looking at the opportunities to advance God's kingdom. Not policing, but being available, because God is going to allow things to come to us so that we can see injustices, that we can see wickedness, that we can see harm. And the reason why it's so critical that we forgive one another and that we press into each other's lives with a forgiving spirit is because we're deeply connected to one another, like the Father is connected to the Son and the Son is connected to the Holy Spirit. We are the bride of Christ, and our lives should echo a Trinitarian relationship. We see this Trinitarian relationship in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. There are different roles in the Trinity, but they're all equal in essence. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. For he has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time. That's the future, a future hope, a plan for the fullness of time. Look here, to unite all things in him, things in heaven, things on the earth. We have to have forgiving spirits. We have to forgive our brothers and sisters. We have to call out injustices in order for God to unite all things in him. Going back to Ephesians 1, verse 11. In him, according to the purpose of him, who accomplishes all things according to the counsel of his will. Verse 12, don't miss this, church. Verse 12, we who first hoped in Christ. Our hope is in Christ. The hope of the world was teaching and training the disciples, and is still teaching us today in Matthew 18, that we've got to put our hope in Christ, and Christ who died on the cross to forgive us, to pay the price for all of our wickedness, for all of our sin, expects us to carry our cross and to forgive others. And if we don't do this, we pay a terrible price. Everybody saw what happened on the day of Epiphany, January 6th. The Capitol. Folks had a visit at the Capitol. Who was right? Who was wrong? Were you there? Was I there? I wasn't there, but there were people there, obviously. But we saw it. So how do we hold that in our spirit? Are we holding people accountable? Are we forgiving one another? Some people will see mistakes in others more quickly than they see mistakes in their own lives. Just this week at work, I was trying to call out another brother on a situation that I felt like he had a wrong perspective. But the way I called him out, it was almost as if I was choking him. And I had to repent. I just say, Lord, I'm sorry. We must be very careful not to be arrogant, brash, and callous. Even if we think we're on the right side, if we think we're on the right side of justice, we must be very careful that we are not arrogant, brash, and callous, but that we have an attentiveness, we are binding and loosening God's spirit, love, and law to all humanity, and we are holding on to a childlike spirit. It's very easy to call out someone else's wickedness and ignore and deny our own. And so we must be forgiving. We must confess our sins. We must confess our fault. Say, Lord, forgive me, for I have sinned. Fill me with your spirit and repent and turn and not hold grudges. For our Heavenly Father wants us to be good citizens in the kingdom, not wicked servants. The wicked servant in Matthew 18 could not recognize his own error, arrogance. The wicked servant found his identity in his entitlement to raise a storm on those who had debt toward him. The wicked servant failed to forgive the debt of others as his master had forgiven his debt. The wicked servant paid a price for his insolence. Is that wicked servant a lost sheep? Remember the parable of the lost sheep? Is that wicked servant a lost sheep? Perhaps. In this parable, we see God didn't put him in jail, held him up and said, okay, you're going to have to deal with this. He still gave him an opportunity to be in relationship. The debt is there, yes, but God calls us to relationship so that we can forgive those who have wronged us, because we have wronged the triune God. And when we confess, the triune God forgives us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. True greatness comes when one can really forgive. And Christ has modeled true greatness for us. Let us forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven us. Let us pray. Gracious God, in this time of need, continue to speak to our hearts to advance your kingdom for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. God bless you. Thank you.